Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, I must confess, and we brought you this story on Monday of this week. It's Wednesday now. My musical heart is broken. Truly broken. Because I bought full in. Michael Franti, whose music we have played on this show countless times, he's been on this show countless times, has canceled his upcoming tour, including a scheduled Bay Area concert, as accusations of sexual abuse continue to build against him. Quoting here from Franti in a social media post today, "This is one of the hardest messages I've ever had to write. Recent events online have left me disheartened, and my spirit is not in the place it needs to be to get on stage and give you the joy and energy that you deserve." The Oakland-born frontman for Spearhead added, "The remaining dates on the Welcome to the Family tour will be canceled. I am devastated to disappoint you, but I hope you understand that I need this pause to be with my family." Concert was originally scheduled for Tuesday, August 26th at Saratoga's Mountain Winery. Promoter AXS said tickets would be refunded automatically. The tour cancellation comes less than a week after singer Victoria Canal alleged in an Instagram post that she was groomed and abused by a, quote, very powerful older musician when she was 19. She did not name Franti in her August 11th post, but she has previously credited him with discovering her in 2018 and inviting her on tour. I saw her on that tour. That's me speaking for myself.
And it was reported all over the place back in 2018 that Franti plucked her off of the internet and brought her to the States.
Here's, you know, aside from the allegations of grooming and sexual abuse, this is second only to that. What bothers me the most, Canal described the man, who we now know to be Franti, as controlling and abusive in private. And this is a man who I have known for many years. I would not say we're friends. I would say we're acquaintances. I have met him backstage 1,000 times. He has been nothing but polite, a gentleman, fun, friendly. And to hear, and Miss Canal is not the only one now. There are others who are now coming forward.
At least two others have stepped up. Yes.
And she said she was not allowed to have separate accommodations on tour. And whenever she wanted to sleep in a bed or have a shower, quote, he made sure it was his.
I have confirmed that.
And he also was dropped by his management company yesterday. The Chronicle story says parted ways, but there are 10 other stories out there.
Well, he's not going to part ways.
Yeah.
Will an artist bounce back from something of this nature?
I don't know. When was the last time you saw Matt Lauer?
Yeah.
He doesn't even have a podcast.
Yeah.
And everybody has a podcast.
Not of this nature. I mean, we've seen other artists suffer from controversy and scandal. Not that he's suffering.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. And bounce back. But they didn't do this. They got hot mic'd saying something they shouldn't say, or intentionally said something they shouldn't say.
She was 19. She was 19 years old.
He was 51 at the time. I understand.
In a country that was not hers. And
I was just texting a friend of mine who we go to the Franti concerts a lot to see each other there. And I said, and we just saw him 2 weeks ago. Just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right.
He was at Grinders 2 weeks ago. It was a packed house. Man, it was fun too. It was a fun concert. And I said, I think we've seen Franti for the last time. And I've always loved his message of positivity,
light,
unity, you know,
peace.
Whatever the challenges in your life, you can power through it. Love. I mean, the songs he's written about his wife And all the while, I'm going and listening to these songs, him professing his love for his wife, and he's having affairs left and right behind her back. I've always made the argument that I can separate the art from the artist. On this one, I'm not so sure. On this one, I don't know. Because I bought into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, with like Beat It and Billie Jean and Thriller and Black and White, you know.
That was in the rearview mirror. It wasn't in the present. That's the difference.
Hmm.
That was all in the rearview mirror.
Well, and Franti has built his career off of the exact messaging that you're talking about. And while it's all a fraud.
Ellen, yesterday, same thing.
Michael Jackson didn't really have that. He just made music.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't. His songs were not necessarily personal reflections on himself.
Peace, love, and happiness, yeah.
You know, Billie Jean, there was never a real Billie Jean in Michael Jackson's life.
Well, she claims he was her lover.
But that's not
true. Kid was not her son.
Mm-mm. And I don't think he ever really got into a pool room knife-wielding fight with 10 other guys. I don't think that ever happened.
What about Shamone?
Shamone?
Shamone.
I don't know who that is.
I never knew what he was saying. No, I never knew what he was saying until we went to the Michael Jackson One Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas, one of the best shows I have ever seen. And they have Shamone all over the place.
We looked it up one time.
Part of the show.
Yes, we looked up Shamone.
It is a word.
Yes.
Shamone.
And
so when he says, I'm bad.
Shamone.
Shamone. So finally I was like, I never knew what that meant,
okay,
what it was, or how to spell it. And then you go to the Cirque du Soleil show and it's written everywhere.
Shamone is spelled S-H-A-M-O-N-E.
Yeah.
And it is a catchphrase popularized by Michael Jackson, often used as an exclamation of excitement or encouragement.
Okay.
It's a distortion of the phrase, come on, and is also known to be a tribute to soul singer Mavis Staples, who used a similar phrase in her live performance.
Royals won again last night. Shamone.
Dan is just sitting there staring at me like a.
So it was like a tiger about to skibbity? Pounce.
No. There's that old phrase, Scott. Be careful about meeting your heroes.
And they'll always disappoint you.
Yep.
I met mine, and now I'm disappointed.
I don't want to preempt what is probably coming up in Dan's newscast, but we are a new station. This is an update. It involves Missouri, so we will bring it to you. Sad news, that man that was infected with that amoeba after going into the warm waters of the Lake of the Ozarks where he was skiing has died this afternoon, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. Remember, he contracted the illness after skiing at the Lake of the Ozarks. The brain-eating amoeba kills brain cells very rapidly, is usually deadly. However, the infection is still said to be extremely rare, fewer than 10 cases or so annually. But when we hear about it, it is death, okay? And so what they're saying is the only way to not get the brain-eating amoeba is to not go in warm water. And if you have to go into warm water, it's everywhere. They said the amoeba is everywhere.
And this was the Lake of the Ozarks, right?
Yeah, the amoeba doesn't just live in the Lake of the Ozarks. It is in all warm, fresh water, according to this report. Mm-hmm. And the only way to protect yourself is to either not go in the water or to use nose plugs or try not to ingest any water, which we've all been water skiing. It's very hard to do that if you fall.
Yeah.
You're going to get water up your nose and in your face if you fall. So they're saying use nose plugs, but it is extremely rare. Nonetheless, the man in St. Louis has passed today.
I'm sorry to hear that. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money?
Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Shimon. Today, by the way, is National Radio Day. It is National Radio Day.
National Radio Day.
I was wondering why all of my friends were posting pictures of themselves in radio studios on Facebook.
Is there going to be a cake?
No.
Did you buy one?
No.
Oh.
The first vocal radio broadcast, because Morse code, they... technically radio as well. The first vocal radio broadcast was transmitted on Christmas Eve, 1906, by a Canadian physicist from his little tiny station in Brant Rock, Massachusetts. The signal was heard as far away as Virginia and proved that radio would be more than just Morse code.
And he said, sorry, that was an accident.
Get out.
She and I are in unison here.
Get out and bring us a cake when you come back. I feel like we should have a cake for this.
Do you know what the first message was?
Yes.
Oh, no. That's the first telegram. I beg your pardon.
Okay, but I also remember that. Wasn't it, what up?
It was Shimon.
That's right. Shimon.
Shimon.
What up, bro?
What's up?
What up?
Is he the only artist that overused that?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Every single stanza.
Almost annoying.
No, it's good.
Shimon.
It's actually also the first telegram.
Bobby Witt Jr. hit his 100th home run last night.
It was exciting. Did you see India get pegged and go down to the ground? He got tagged last night. We played so well.
I ignored last night's game.
Oh, my gosh. Sasquatch had a home run or two. You'd have to look it up. And you got to see the little Sasquatch go by.
Okay.
I get very excited when that happens. I'm going to the game in about a week, and then Bill Glass is coming in next
Dr. Rick will be in on
Saturday,
Sunday.
Or Sunday.
No, Sunday, August 31st. Mm-hmm. I'll be at that game. By the way, Bobby Witt Jr., at 25 years and 66 days old, is the ninth youngest player in Major League Baseball history to reach 100 home
ninth
runs. Ninth youngest to reach 100 home runs and 100 stolen bases.
Do we know who the eight younger were? I can look it up if you don't.
It was not listed here.
I did see he hit that milestone last night, and I thought, okay, do you want to guess?
The youngest players to reach 100 home runs?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Got it right in front of me.
I was going to guess like a Hank Aaron or something. Am I wrong?
Ty Cobb?
He's not in the top six.
No.
You only have the top six. Barry Bonds? McGuire?
No.
Sosa?
Juan Soto became the youngest Nationals player to reach 100 career home runs.
That's youngest Nationals
player. But he's not among the top eight overall.
I now have the top 10.
Yeah, these are... Okay. Well, A-Rod.
Hank Aaron.
Yep.
Hank Aaron, number 10.
Okay.
Hank Aaron is number 10?
23 years, 191 days.
It's going to go by days.
You're not going to get a lot of these. A-Rod is the youngest.
A-Rod is the only one I recognize,
fourth
Scott.
Fourth youngest.
You don't recognize number 9?
Witt is the youngest Royal, by the way, to do it.
Okay. Not surprised.
Number 9 is a longtime Cardinal.
Oh, McGuire.
No.
The other one. Sosa.
No.
Oh,
number 5.
Hang on. From Kansas City.
Well, not originally, but he lived here.
Pujols.
Yes. Pujols. Number 9.
Bonds. The other one.
I was about to come out of my chair.
He was 23 years old and 185 days.
I hope the sports boys are listening. Do ourselves proud.
I hope they're not.
Should I end the misery?
Yeah, please. Yes.
2016, Bryce Harper did it. 23 Harper. Years, 181 days. 1971, Johnny Bench. 2006, Miguel Cabrera. 2000, Andrew Jones. Andrew spelled A-N-D-R-U-W. Mm-hmm. Four was A-Rod. Three, Eddie Matthews. Two, Tony. Not even going to try. And number one, Mel Ott.
Okay.
1931.
I would have never guessed half, well, the vast majority of them.
Yeah.
Speaking of everyone needs to study, data shows only 23% of third grade students in Kansas City can read at their grade level. Mm-hmm. 23%, with one educator calling it an absolute crisis.
Yep.
I want to know from our educators out there, what type of benchmark is the third grade, and why is that grade in particular important? Is it one of those grades where if by third grade, if you are not proficient and caught up, fourth to seventh, the dominoes start falling, right?
Yes. Let me just double check.
Because kindergarten's
something.
A big old spectrum, right? You got people that can write their letters. You got people that are starting to learn how to read. You got people that are eating the macaroni for the art project.
Is third grade when we start truly implementing literature, meaning like comprehensive reading?
Listen to this story from Channel 5, then we'll take calls when we get back. Think about how many times a day you read. From text messages to street signs to your latest summer book, reading is how we learn, part of how we communicate, how we grow our brains. But this lifelong skill is lacking in Kansas City schools, and it is not sitting well with educators. They get into this sweet 7-year-old kiddo who's a second grader at Crossroads Academy Charter School. He loves reading, but not so long ago, it was a challenge for him. He was not alone in his struggle. They have a literacy coach at his school where out of the 240 students, more than 60% need help with reading. She says it is based on need and where they are failing on tests. We are trying to make sure we get every kid what they need. The problem is, she says, the need is great, with Missouri State data showing only 23% of third grade students in Kansas City's district and charter schools can read at grade level. That
23%.
One in four
yep.
are reading at grade level. Across the state, the number is still bad, 43%.
Well, I would make the argument.
In Kansas City, it's 23%. Statewide, it's 43 is still bad.
It's still
statewide.
Bad. It's terrible. I would make the argument a lot of this happens at home. You're not encouraging your children to read.
Or you are struggling to read and you are not a proficient reader, and then it becomes.
But you can become a proficient reader if you're willing to read. For example, the USA Today, the newspaper, is written at a sixth grade reading level. The Wall Street Journal, a little bit more, is written at an 11th grade reading level. So think about that.
Yeah.
A third grader couldn't even read, well, could, but maybe not be able to comprehend a simple news article in the most dumbed down newspaper in America.
Yeah.
And the USA Today makes no bones about it. They cater to a lower reading level. They've never made any bones about it.
They want to appeal to more people.
That is correct.
One of the teachers further explained the importance of improving literacy rates. She says it is a key predictor for both high school graduation and lifelong outcomes. Even beyond that, research indicates that 70% of the incarcerated cannot read above grade level. She says this is a call to action for everyone. This isn't about pointing fingers of blame at schools. This is about how are we, Kansas City, going to step up.
And it's going to get worse. Part of the reason we brought in the anti-dumb-dumb word of the day is because we are losing our language because we do not have to use it anymore. You no longer have to go to the library and read 18 different textbooks to find one piece of information.
Great point.
But I would tell you this, and I don't go to the library to check out books. If I want to read a book, I go buy it. But and that's not me bragging. But I do go to a library once every 2 weeks because that's where my psychologist and I meet. We meet at the library at Lenexa City Center.
In the children's section, it's very awkward for them.
Okay.
The cow jumped over the moon.
We meet in the large print section of the library where the older people meet. You would be amazed how many people use libraries to this day.
Yeah.
It is packed.
You can register to vote there. You can
All right. Great question, Sam. Are they reading? Some of them are. Yes. But when you walk in to the library,
they're so helpful.
There are shelves that they're on wheels. So, you know, obviously they can pull them back into the store or into the library. There are shelves of pre-checked out books that you just come up and you grab the book that you checked out.
Just grab it.
I mean, and it is the shelves are loaded. People are using libraries. Now, granted, are they on the internet, on the computers? Yes,
they're
I see
doing
a lot of
that too. But the
are
services
they meeting in meeting rooms? Yes.
Scott, the services there today are vast and are way more than just checking out a book. But,
correct.
You know, the question becomes, the children in a school have access to their library. At what age did we start to lose them? Is it 4? Is it 5? Are we not doing a good enough job in the early childhood
Who's
development
we?
Phase?
Who's we?
Society, parents.
I want to keep parents in the mix.
The 3-year-old, the 4-year-old, you know, are we sending that child to school unprepared? And then the dominoes start to fall. And by 3rd grade, we're so far behind, we don't know what to do.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Oh, let's go to our teacher friend, Sean in Warrensburg. Hello, Sean. What are you doing out of class already, man?
¿Cómo estás? How are we doing?
Estoy bien, gracias, usted.
Hey, there you go. Hey, as an art teacher, I cover multitude of subjects. Reading is one of them. I think from multiple studies, the 3rd grade is the watermark because that's where the transition occurs from learning to read to reading to learn.
Ooh, well said.
And, you know, we as educators and the school system in general have ditched so many fundamental programs that worked, and we've done that to follow the dollar because we bend our knee to standardized tests.
Yep.
Filling in bubbles rather than filling minds and justifying it. And so you've got a bunch of students that are trying to learn to read, and that's the focus. But as you're reading, you also have to have comprehension. You have to understand what you're reading. And I think part of that is lost. The English language is such a difficult language to learn. If you talk to any foreign person coming in, English is so troublesome. But one of the things that's happening is that you have all these kids that don't pick up books in school. Well, let me back the truck up. You don't have a lot of parents that are reading to kids like they used to. Bedtime books. Here, sit down and read to me. Work on phonics. And then when they get into the classroom, they're handed a tablet or a laptop. And there's something different. You can tell me it's the same. I'll argue all day long about having the physical book in your hand, turning pages. And they have done studies that once you get to the 3rd grade, the 4th grade, you are contributing to the classroom to prison pipeline, and that is hindering so many young people becoming young adults. And when you don't give them options, they turn to the easiest route possible. And unfortunately, that's where they find the things to entertain themselves, ways to make a buck, and that's just turning us in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Man, Sean,
very well put.
What a really good call. Really smart.
Thank you.
All right. Be well, my friend. Wow, that was good. David in KCK. David, hello.
All right. I'm going to start off on my soapbox. I'm going to say the following. More government will never be the answer. More government will never be the answer. We have the people that say, hey, math is racist. We have the social justice warriors that are lowering down the standards of everybody. Schools in Oregon, you know, they don't even take into consideration the requirements anymore. They're just promoting them. And in Chicago, the same thing, about 40 plus schools where kids are just dumb as a bag of rocks, you know? Of course, you've got the teachers unions that are just protecting the incompetent teachers at the expense of the students. And of course, it's about $20K per student on a public school versus $11K on a private school. I mean, we are just getting ripped off. I want my tax dollars back. I am a homeowner, and these kids are just getting worse. And again, more government will never be the answer. We're just paying bureaucrats to fatten them up. And the last people who get taken care of are our students. School choice or private school for me.
Wow, David. He needs a gratitude journal.
Okay.
We started writing again one last night.
You wrote a gratitude journal.
Yes. Speaking of helping children read and write.
What did you say? If I may ask, yes, you don't have to answer.
Get your child, if you want to get them reading and you want to get them writing, it's called a 10, 15-second gratitude journal or something. And because it's quick, because we got the big old ADD, right?
Right.
It's 5 or 6 lines. What are you grateful for today? Sam, you do this, don't you?
I do every once in a while. I need to do it more often.
I found it cleaning out my desk the other day. It was in a desk drawer, and I brought it out last night.
I took
pen to paper. Plus, I enjoy writing, and it can be serious.
Mm-hmm.
It can be silly. It can be funny. It doesn't have to be, I'm grateful for the trees and the birds, which I am. It can be, I'm grateful for...
Are the birds alive or dead?
Right. It can be, I'm grateful for the exterminator that came and got critters out of your house. It can be anything like that.
I just made that up.
This is
2 days in a row you have admitted to a federal crime.
You guys are just crazy.
You are going to prison.
No, I just wrote, I'm trying to remember what I wrote last night. I listed like 6 or 7 things, and my job was one of them, Scott. My job, what? A job that I love, was one of them.
I do gratitudes every day, and I told you, this is Wednesday, on Monday, that my gratitude on Monday was for you.
And I appreciate that. But there is something powerful about writing it down. And they have gratitude journals for children.
It doesn't matter how big or small the gratitude is. It's about rewriting your mindset.
To look at the positive.
I did a 2-minute meditation.
To be thankful.
Yes, to look at the positive and be grateful for what you have.
I do gratitudes every single day. And I only have 2 constant gratitudes,
mm-hmm.
And it's screaming
kid,
screaming kids and sleeping dogs.
Yeah,
and because I love opening up, shut up, Sam. I love opening up the back patio door to my house and listening to the kids on the elementary school playground because it reminds me of innocence.
Yeah,
and sleeping dogs reminds me to be happy with what I have.
Yeah,
because my dog just sleeps. And she's just content.
She's just happy to sleep. When are we going to meet her? When are you going to bring her in?
I'll bring her in whenever you want. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd be happy to do it. A buddy of mine asked me the other day, are you ever going to take her to work?
She likes just being home.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is she likes attention.
Yeah.
Her first 4 years were probably, we think we're not very good. And now she's living her best life. And so she's... like soaking it up. Like,
yeah,
she would be in my lap right now.
Yep. Yep.
And
one of my gratitudes last night, I will tell you,
is something that
is going to make you smile and then ask me what. And then when I tell you, you're going to laugh because you know I think laughter is the best thing for all of us. I was grateful for crunchy rice because
it was undercooked.
He made this great dinner and made all these things. And I said, let me at least do something. I'll make the rice.
Oh.
And it. I took a bite and we're eating and everything.
How long did you cook the rice?
Everything's fine.
No. How long did you cook the rice?
Did it still look wet?
I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, and he's taking a bite and he just goes 6.
Is that how many minutes you cooked it?
No, it wasn't minute rice. That's my first problem. I got the big Vigo, you know, the Vigo rice in the bag.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did wrong. How do you screw up rice? But I did. And
how many minutes did it tell you on the back of the box to cook
it? On the back of the box, it said 20 to 25 minutes on a low simmer.
And how many minutes did you cook it on a low simmer? That's really not hard.
35 minutes, and it was still crunchy, and I don't know why. I screwed it up, but we laughed about it all. The one thing I tried to contribute.
Would you describe a simmer to me?
It's a low simmer. Very low boil.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what a simmer is. I'm not a terrible cook, but I.
Well, I know, but women don't like the word simmer.
Only when
especially
you say
when it's followed
follow it
with
by down.
Simmer down. So I didn't know if if you knew what the word simmer meant, because women.
Were you suggesting that she thought it was a raging boil?
No, I think what I did, Sam, was I boiled it too early, too much, and then the water ran out. And it,
so you didn't simmer down.
I did not simmer it down. And, so,
and now you had it el dente.
Back to minute rice we go. It was kind of the consistency of like pine nuts.
Is that why they get so mad when you say simmer?
Yeah, it's because they've already boiled. Carrie in KCK.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello. Carrie.
Hi. Hi, go ahead.
Hi. I was the one who sang on stage at the Michael Franti concert.
So good for you, buddy.
He was on stage with them. It's heartbreaking.
But, I know.
So my son couldn't read, and so like when you said it's his parents, both my husband and I both are highly educated and have masters, and I'm a teacher. And my question is more questions. Our kids are going to school longer than when I went.
Yeah.
People do not ask a teacher if they actually know how the brain learns in reading. It's very direct and very explicit, but no teachers have any type of professional development on how the brain learns. If they did, our kids would know how to read. Secondly, we have been our kids are in school less, so teachers can go to professional development. And if you see that, there might be a correlation, more PD, less time in class, kids can't read. So
there could be. Carrie, thank you for the call.
Have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. All right, be well. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 586. What 7798? What are you laughing about in there, Chuckles?
Dana, did you put water in the pot?
Oh God.
I did.
Text line was demanding to know.
I did.
How do you screw up rice?
I don't know, Scott.
I'm really trying to figure that one out too.
I mean,
I know. I'm back to minute rice I go.
I think Uncle Ben's.
Perhaps.
Is that still a brand?
I don't know. We tried to go cilantro lime. That's been put in time.
Well, if you're going cilantro lime, you can just go to Chipotle and buy just cilantro
it's
lime
so
rice.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
It is good.
You know what? I might do that next time and just act like I made it.
I think that would be a safe bet.
He'd know, but he'd be like, wow.
So what?
This is really good.
So what? 913-586-7798.
I don't know how this stuff gets out, but it did. And we wish we had more information to share with you, but we don't. We have a school employee in Independence under federal criminal investigation. That person has been placed on leave. Federal, you ask?
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yes. Well, we don't know if it's a he. We don't know if it's a she. We don't know if it's a staff member or a teacher. We do know the FBI is leading the investigation. The district confirmed this afternoon that the employee has been placed on administrative leave per district policy.
Is that all we know?
They would release no other information. Listen to this. We sent communication to any families possibly associated with this employee, and we always have support available for any student or staff member in need. Could there be a more vague response from the district? Independence Police also declined to comment and said, you got questions, call the FBI.
Yeah. The easiest job in America
is
being a spokesperson for the FBI.
Yeah.
Because
no comment.
The answer is always,
no
we don't comment on pending investigations.
It is the third staffer this year under criminal investigation, but I said to Scott off the air, for the FBI to get involved.
Do not even start to speculate. We have no idea.
We have no idea.
And I don't want to get in trouble.
Here's what we know. It would be a federal crime, or the FBI would not be involved.
Clearly.
Well, how could we get in trouble? We don't even know the person's name.
Yeah, but I'm not going to speculate on what kind of charges might be coming from a federal investigation.
I'm going to go with federal, Scott.
On a school district employee in Independence.
I'm with Dana. Federal's probably a pretty good guess.
And that's as far as we're going to go.
All right. It's been 5 years and one day since we got this bad boy.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos,
classic.
It will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize.
Well, 5 years down the road, Mr. Tom, I can assure you that you did not put those headset
Didn't he said something
on.
About Kansas City.
It's the apology, and he still continues to call the game. I'd like to apologize.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will
part.
Be a home run.
Just keeps calling the game.
And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
I just want to say that
I'm a man of faith.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on. Gone!
It's going to be the apology was because he got hot mic'd at the beginning of the broadcast.
And he called Kansas City
the blank capital of the world.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a
three-letter word that starts with F.
That is correct.
And then continued to call the game throughout the apology. I assume he's still working, Sam?
He no longer worked for the Reds.
No, but he got a morning sports show.
I was just about to say, he is back on the radio.
Well, happy National Radio Day.
Is he at WLW?
To the play-by-play guy that delivered the greatest.
A man of faith.
That's gone.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Happy National Radio Day.
We all make mistakes.
We do, but I don't call certain cities the F capitals of the world. I mean, simmer down, bro. All right, quick break for the news. Dan's got that coming up in 2 minutes. She is Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. Don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. This hour will be up in about 3 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.